We've got a huge amount to cover, and we're really, really excited about this. So try and have a pen and paper available if possible, because we're going to ask you questions, take you on a deep guided meditation and all kinds of things. So having your pen and paper ready to take notes is good to capture those ideas, and also it helps you learn better. It helps you bring it into your body, bring it into your consciousness if you take notes. So go for it. And before we begin, Josh, do you want to just do a quick meditation?
Yeah, I think that would be great, especially if anyone got any charge around us starting so late. You know, even we were like, oh, man, what's going on here? So it's all good. So what we want to do before we go any further is to make sure that we release and let go of any kind of charge, any kind of anything that you might be carrying into this call through anything from the earlier in the day to any projections you might be having in the, about the future, because we don't want to go into this topic of purpose, of your life's mission, when you're taking any kind of this trance, right, this trance of the day, of the to-do, the daily norm, because your mission is deeply connected with inspiration. It's within the field of inspiration. And inspiration does not come from memory. It is a thing in and of itself. And so we want to just empty the cup a little bit before we move any further. So just want to make sure that you are somewhere that you won't be disrupted, that you are comfortable. And we're going to do a quick little releasing technique, the one that we shared with you earlier on, and just release some of the day, okay? So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and just sit back, relax for a moment, take a nice deep breath. And go ahead and close your eyes. And go ahead and, as best as you can, tuning into your day, tuning into everything that's occurred today, everything that's occurred in the last 30 minutes, the last hour, since you woke up today. Anything that caught your attention today, anything that might have even caused a reaction in you today. As best as you can, could you simply welcome whatever this experience was in your body and in your mind. Just allowing it to be here now. And notice the sensations in your body. Notice the images in your mind. And any sounds, any self-talk. And could you let this go? Could you simply let it dissolve? Let it be free? Could you simply let it drop? As best as you can. And would you rather keep holding on to this? Or would you rather be free? When? And once more, as best as you can, seeing if you can welcome whatever is in this moment. simply welcoming as best as you can. And notice the sensations in your body. Welcoming the energy in your body. And any images, any sounds. As best as you can. And could you let this go? Could you just let it be free? Could you let it dissolve, unravel, dissipate? And would you allow yourself to simply let it go? When? We're going to do this one more time. Simply welcoming. As best as you can, welcoming whatever is in this moment right now, whatever you're experiencing, as best as you can. And welcoming all sensations in your body, images in your mind, any sounds. Welcoming. And could you let this go? Could you simply release it? Set it free. Could you simply empty the cup? And would you? Would you rather keep holding on? Or would you rather be free? When? Okay. And take a nice deep breath. And slowly opening your eyes. Okay. So hopefully that helped release some of the day. Of course, anything that may have come up a little sooner than the beginning of your day.
Yay.
All right.
Thank you, Josh.
So let's...
Beautiful.
Absolutely. For sure. Absolutely. So why don't we go into... what was that, Michael?
I was just going to say, let's just talk about the main things we're going to cover in the call. And so first of all, we're going to be dealing with, there's four main aspects of this call, four big topics, and also you can learn about how you can take this deeper at the end also. So the first thing we're going to be talking about is the biggest and most common misunderstanding people make that literally makes it impossible to discover and live their Dharma. And when you break this misunderstanding, you can start enjoying your life and living your Dharma today, literally. We're also going to be talking about how to overcome confusion about what am I really here to do? What am I really here to do? I have this question asked to me by so many people. What am I really here to do? And finally ground that question into your mission and get on with it, get on with doing those things. And when you make this decision to do your mission, everything else fits into place perfectly. And third, we're also going to do the four magic questions to launch yourself like a rocket towards fulfillment of your mission starting now. Four very powerful questions that are really going to launch you forward, getting that clarity. We're also going to share why living your Dharma really comes down to just one thing, one simple thing. And once you do this, everything else takes care of itself. And at the end of the call, we will be talking about four steps that you can start putting into your life right now and moving you forward that are really very practical action steps. In fact, this whole thing is very, very practical. So anything you want to add, Josh?
Well, definitely want to make sure that everyone on the call understands that this is a coaching call, right? We're not going to be merely giving you more ideas because we don't need more ideas. Most of us can do with a lot less ideas of what we think is going on or what we think we might be here to do and so on and so forth, or how to uncover that. So this is a coaching call. We're going to ask you to participate. We're not just going to give you homework and say, okay, here's the deal, now go do whatever you want with it. We're going to be doing these exercises on the call tonight. And so our goal for you tonight is that at the very minimum, you're going to leave this call with a seed, with something that's going to blossom later on, or get ultra clear tonight of what you're here to do. And leave this call with a clarity, right? With a clarity that you didn't have before you came onto this call. That's our goal for you tonight and how we're going to be able to serve you and how we want to serve you.
Yeah.
So let's tune into what is the main problem here, because I think we need to define how does someone even know if they are not living their mission or if they don't know their Dharma, right? Do you want to go into that, Michael? Can you go into let's start with,
yeah, absolutely,
with defining what this is about.
Yeah, it's really important to know, because when we're on this journey, we have to be able to feel into things. We need to understand signs. You know, living your Dharma is a lot about the signs of things. You get synchronicities and magical moments. So here's a few signs that will give you an idea that you're not living your Dharma. So if you start living it and then you stop, you will be able to tell. So first thing is, if you're wondering, what should I do with my life? What should I do with my life? What am I supposed to do? It means you're not living your Dharma. Another sign is that if you are not feeling fulfilled in your life, just a sense of unfulfillment, that's because you're not living your Dharma. Another big sign is that when you go to sleep at night, if you go to sleep and you're feeling bland or you're feeling frustrated and you're wasting your life, you feel kind of like weird and dead almost, or tired when you go to sleep, that's a sign that you're not living your Dharma. You know, I mean, you know, physical tiredness is one thing, but if there's that sort of feeling of being a bit bland, frustrated, definitely not living your Dharma. If you're stuck in a situation where you feel you're trapped and you're doing things you don't love and you don't really know how to get out of that situation, that also is another sign. And, you know, really, if you're not sure what is the next step to move forward, how can I move just that one step forward, if you don't even know that, then that's another sign. And this is an interesting one, is that I come across a lot, is people who are not sure which of the many millions of options is the real one, which is my real Dharma. People have so many ideas, but they don't know which one it is, and they don't feel they have enough time to do all the things in their mind. That's another sign of not living your Dharma. You know, you're fragmented. And if you're wondering, what is this one thing that's my Dharma, this one simple thing that's my Dharma, how is it possible just to do this one thing, that is another sign. Because we'll talk more about this topic later on. If you're just thinking there's this one thing and I don't seem to be able to do this one thing, That's another sign. So bottom line is, if there's these questionings going on, not feeling fulfilled, going to sleep at night, you know, not really very happy, not feeling that you wake up and want to jump out of bed and run forward and get on with your day, if any of that's going on, then you're not really living your Dharma. And we know ourselves how painful and frustrating that is. And we also know how absolutely wonderful it is to live your Dharma, and what a blessing it is to everyone else as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to, you know, bring up the pain too much for you, but it's important to understand these things so that you can check yourself later on when you start living your Dharma fully, what the difference is. And a big thing, just a little point here, something to write down is, it's very, very important in general, not just specifically with your Dharma, but your whole life, to understand the difference between a life of bondage, a life where you're trapped, and a life of freedom. It's, you need to have a clear understanding of the difference between a trapped life and a life of freedom. Because if you don't know this difference, then you're just going to be trapped and think that's the way it is. So just bear that in mind, because you're going to learn from us more and more and more things about how to have that life of freedom, that life of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anything you want to add to that, Josh?
No, I think that's well said, Michael. I think, you know, these polarities help us. You know, we only know things because based on their comparison to something else. So if we can define the problem clearly, you know, like one teacher once said, you know, a problem well stated is a problem half solved. Right.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful. So let's this topic of purpose and mission, it's such a powerful one. You know, it goes so deep. And you know, I really want to share with you folks just a little bit, Michael. I know you've had your experience of how you came to actually find out what is your purpose, right? I know I've had my experience of multiple different experiences, and we want to share this with you really quickly here just so you can tune into some of the things that happen in life that are actually pointing you in the direction. Right, because you know, life is this wonderful mysterious. It's kind of a trip, right? I mean, we're all here together. Life is this mysterious journey, right? And there are so many things that are going on in our lives that are constantly, like you were saying, Michael, giving us signs, giving us clues as to what are we here to do, right? So just through telling you a little bit of our story and how we came to realize what our purpose was in this life, and start making that happen, you're going to get some ideas also. Some of these stories translate almost as metaphors for you. So, Michael, would you like to start? You want to share a little bit about how did you come into this? How did you finally find your purpose, the meaning and mission for your life? Where did it all start?
Yeah, I mean, it's really deep, and I think I'd like to encourage you listening to this to just look at yourself where you are now and just relate what I'm saying to your own life, because this is a very personal thing for all of us. And I remember, I could say this in many different ways, but there's in a sense steps of the journey. It's not necessarily that there's this one moment and then that's the end of it forever. It can be for some people, but that's normally not how it is. It normally starts somewhere and then gets refined, and then after a while you really crack the code. It's very rare that someone just absolutely gets the entire blueprint completely and goes from one place to another all in an evening or an afternoon or something. But for me, what happened was, I remember coming back from Africa. I was traveling around Africa, and got back, and at the time I was smoking cannabis and drinking too much alcohol. I was a teenager, and it was this crazy trip that I was on, and it was just, I came back feeling depressed, and my friends were boring me, and I didn't want to be with my girlfriend, and I was just in this messy place. I really felt terrible. I felt really depressed. And, but then I came across meditation. You know, my mother actually, funnily enough, was studying meditation, and she decided to teach it to me and my friends. So we were, you know, in a sense, partly amusing ourselves to go there and listen to her. But we went anyway. And I had these extremely powerful experiences of meditation, and I had extremely powerful visions of myself in a completely different space, in a completely different time. It's almost as if I had had a premonition of my future. And that was so powerful and so clear that it sort of woke me up and snapped me out of things, and I stopped smoking weed and stopped drinking and basically stopped everything I was doing pretty much within a very short space of time. Because this vision was so clear to me, the difference between carrying on how I was and choosing this new path, this new road of having a far more greater, cleaner, more profound way of living. And that really just got me moving in that direction. And you know, that was a complete life change. It really was in itself. But that wasn't it. Then after a few years of doing that, I realized, well, what is it that I'm actually here to do really more specifically? And, you know, we haven't got time for me to go too much into this, but basically I came to realize that my life is about bringing the whole thing together. You can't just have spirituality. You need to, what about life? What about what we're doing all day long? What about other people? What about relating to people? What am I going to eat? What am I going to do with my time? I can't, you know, what am I going to do for my work? And I started asking all these questions and, you know, ended up creating companies and studying all this stuff and ultimately creating companies and ultimately moving here to Hawaii to teach all these things to people, like you're listening to this now. This is my Dharma. And I wasn't aware of that, you know, at the beginning, but now this is 14 years later from that time that I had that vision, and this is all I do. And I've gone through so many refinements of this, and what it is it's essentially brought everything that I was good at, all my strengths, all my passions, everything somehow has become rolled into one ball, and that ball is the ball of my life, and it has many different sides to it. You know, it's not just one thing, it has all kinds of different facets, but I've brought my artistic skills, my love for creativity, my love for spirituality, my love for food, my love for people, my love for teaching. Everything has been rolled into one. And the whole package, including going to the beach and swimming and doing this and doing that and playing and studying, everything has been brought together. And that whole thing is my Dharma. And now I just live literally on a paradise island, doing what I love, helping thousands and thousands of people, and it's just a beautiful blessing for me. It brings me so much joy. I wake up in the morning with a big smile on my face. I'm happy pretty much consistently, and I go to sleep with a big smile on my face. So it's my biggest joy to provide this information and this understanding to you, because I know how wonderful, how magnificent life really is once we crack this. And you can do it, and you will do it, and you have an absolute destiny to fulfill. There is something that only you can do, and there's something very, very, very special about you, which is hidden inside of you right now, and it's just waiting to come out. And it's when that comes out, everything changes. So much cooperation comes, so much magic happens, so many synchronicities happen, and you really just have to let go and enjoy the flow. Just enjoy that, trust in that. And we'll be talking more about these specifics later on. But I just wanted to share that story quickly and briefly with you.
Wonderful. You know, that's so key, Michael. You know you're living your mission when everything you do, if you're inspired by it, you love it, you just go for it, mm-hmm. right? You're full out with everything. And it is. It's
one, the whole of life.
One big picture. Mm. Yep, exactly. Wonderful. Well, I'm going to just share a little bit here, just really quickly. I want to share a little bit about, you know, my story, because it's very similar, you know, and I'm sure you on the call have a very similar story as well, right? For me, it started very young. I think a lot of people do start asking these kind of questions. What is life all about? You know, pretty darn young, you know. For me, I went, you know, I took some even, quote unquote, some extreme measures to find out, well, what is the deal? Why am I here in this life? What am I here to do? And I'll tell you about it, all of that, in just a moment here. But, you know, I started when I was about 14 years old. I remember I went to my mom and dad and I told them, you know what? I need to know, I need to find out, what am I here to do? You know, I have no idea. You know, just imagine a 14-year-old kid, you know, you have kids, right? Tell you, you know what? I need to find out what my life is really all about. I need to get this figured out. I need to clear this up. And so I told them that in order to do that, I was going to take a trip. I was going to go hitchhiking across the Northwest, and I was going to go out and search for my mission out in the world. Of course, my mother wasn't too fond of the idea. Not at all. But my dad, he supported me, and we all talked about it, and they agreed, okay, that's okay. You can make this decision, and we support you, and it's going to be hard, but go ahead, do it. So I took off. I traveled around, and I was, you know, it's so interesting, the synchronicities that started happening, because I started running into all these different PhD doctor guys that were driving these, you know, like dinky cars, and I would talk with them, and they would talk about what life was about for them and how they went into this whole career, and by the end of it, after they graduated as a doctor, they realized that's not what they're here to do and decided that they would go out in a van or in a car to just figure that out, right? I mean, you know, so I kept on running into these reflections, right? Very, very funny reflections. Anyway, to keep a story short, I came back from that experience with just more questions, right? I really did not know what was really going on. And that took me to really go deeper into some of these inner work methodologies, right? So meditation work, visualization work. I started tuning into the different success technologies from like Tony Robbins and Brian Tracy. And there was a point where also I connected with a group of Native American people here in the Northwest, and I started to go to their ceremonies, and I started to learn about the different ways that they have of finding their mission and their purpose. And one of those ways is what they call the Hamdicha, or the vision quest. And so, you know, some people consider it to be this extreme, which is something that I decided to do, and that was to take 4 days where you would have no food, no water, alone out in the middle of nowhere, to simply tune in and find, what are you here to do? Right? Now, here's the thing. The reason why I'm telling you this is because even that didn't fully clarify what I was here to do. And like Michael said, it just became a little more refined. Right? And that's really the key here, and this is what happened in my life, and to be honest with you, it's still happening, that there is a refining process continually of what my main purpose and mission is. Because every little way that you put it, okay, every little way that you word what your mission is that you're committed to, every little change you do to that changes the expression of that in your life. Just a little bit. And the clearer you are, the more things start happening, and things start happening easily when you align yourself with that. So for me, mm-hmm. I just started changing. I realized that all of this was based on some of the questions I was asking. And that's what part of today is about as well, is to realize that your life is expressing a lot of the questions that you're asking yourself. And so I started to uncover and be handed through mentoring what are those questions that start to really clear, like a laser, taking off all the extra layers, all the rust on the outside, and getting to the heart of what you're here to do. So for me, that's kind of where it happened. And then, at one point I realized it was very clear that what I'm here to do is to research and uncover the universal laws of this universe, of in healing, of success and abundance, and creating what you want, and sharing those teachings to the rest of the world. And that's all I do now. That's my world. I coach clients in the same thing. I started online businesses to help people and reach more people. This is all that I do now, and it's intimately connected, of course, with everything else, because everything else is linked to my purpose. It's gotten that refined, like Michael was talking about as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my story, kind of a little all over the place, but that's life.
That's right. So, you know, if you're feeling like, you know, listening into this and thinking, well, I'm all over the place, that's great. Good for you. You know, that's wonderful, because, you know, staying in one place is the worst thing you can do. So, you know, we've both traveled around a lot. You know, I've traveled into many different countries, spent a lot of time in India. I've done all kinds of crazy stuff, and it's a journey. I'm still refining it now. Even now, there's still a few little tweaks, but they're minor things. They're like, you know, they're like polishing it. You know, it's like the little decorations. That's what it's like now. It's the big stuff has already happened. The house has been built, and it's just the decorations, a few little extra decorations. So, yeah. Great. So let's get straight to it then. So what they can do, the first thing to understand before we can really go into the questions is, what actually is Dharma? What does it mean, your Dharma, your mission? What does that even mean? You know, because there can be misunderstanding about this, and that can keep people stuck. So, because what a lot of people think is that their Dharma is this one thing that you do all day long, like your Dharma is to teach. So all you do is teach. Where you wake up in the morning, you teach a class. Then you have something, this quick smoothie, teach another class. Then you have something to eat, another three classes. Go for a walk for, you know, 2 minutes, and then another class, and then a night class, and then a late night class. And then you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think, you dream about classes, and you wake up and have another class first thing in the morning. That, you know, they think, or... You know, or it's like, hey, my Dharma is painting. You wake up, you paint, you draw a little bit, do a sculpture, paint. That isn't what it means, you know. So
right.
That's the biggest misconception, is that if you think in that way, that there's this one thing and you have to be doing it all day long, every single day, then you're stuck, because that's not what it is. Dharma is actually a lifestyle. It means duty. It means your way of being. It really literally means a way of being, how you live your life, the way in which you live. And it's a lifestyle, you know. So, for example, I've just been down to the beach. I came back. I was swimming in the waves. I love to sit there meditating by the ocean. That's part of my lifestyle. If I didn't do that, I couldn't be here teaching you and sharing with you the things that I've learned, because I have to integrate everything that I experience. And I get ideas when I'm in the shower, when I'm in the ocean, when I'm walking in nature. So it's not one thing. It's a variety of things that you do that together make up a package, which then is your Dharma, is your lifestyle. And by having all these different bases covered, you are in peak form. You're in absolute, you're in your zone, you're in the power, you're in the joy, you know. And no one thing is going to do that for you. You know, if all I did all day long was teach, I'd get burnt out. If all I did all day was sit on the beach, I would feel bored and like I'm wasting my life. But when there's the perfect balance of being on the beach, eating, socializing, you know, reading, going inside, meditation, when there's the balance, overall what you end up creating in your life over, you know, years and years is a massive volume of extremely powerful service for the world. But it wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for all the factors involved. So that's the number one misconception that people have when they think about their Dharma. It is not just one thing, it's a variety of things. And I hope if you understand that will take some of the pressure off. You know, you might find yourself feeling a bit more relaxed. Because it isn't going to be one thing. And chances are, you're actually doing some of those things already. So I would say that there's a very high likelihood that you're living your Dharma already to maybe, you know, like 20% or 30% or maybe even 60% or whatever it is already, and that's a good job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing just to mention is that one thing that is absolutely for sure is that your dharma overall, what you do, is going to be for service of others. If it isn't benefiting the world and benefiting other beings, then it's not really your dharma. You know, if it's only, you're the only person who benefits from it, then that's not really the real deal. It's always in relation to the world around you and how your life is being a blessing to the world. So if it's the variety of things that make you feel great and overall you're benefiting the world, definitely that's your dharma. That's how you can tell. Anything you want to add, Josh, to that?
Yeah, you know, I think there's one more myth here that I think we need to debunk. This one's an important one, and I hope I kind of expressed that a little bit through telling you my story, is, you know, there's this almost unconscious, this collective unconscious feeling based on a fantasy, really, that we are going to be handed our mission, our vision, and everything that we're here to do on some kind of mysterious platter. Right? And we're basically just going to be handed it. It's going to come through some light that comes down from the sky, or it's going to come through something magical or something just out of this world that will just completely convince us, yes, this is what I'm here to do. But like we were saying, this is rarely the case. There are some people that do experience certain visions, that experience certain callings through imagery, through dreams and things like that. But even then, they then have to get into the real work of how do you refine that? How do you make it a practical reality? Because you know if you're living your mission, is happening because it's become a practical reality in your life. It's not just in your head. People can see you living your mission, right? You're affecting the world by living your mission. So here's the kind of a rub a little bit, and part of what we're going to try to help you do tonight is that your mission, above everything else, requires you to make a decision. You need to decide, ultimately. It's deciding. Because you can. You have all sorts of options available to you. Right? And the wonderful thing is that it doesn't have to be just one, like Michael was saying. Right? But your mission is the underlying, the overtone of your life. It's what puts it all together, like we've been sharing with you. But there has to be a decision that needs to be made. Right? I know for myself, I consciously decided that this is what I'm going to dedicate my life to. This is what I'm here to do. Nobody convinced me. There wasn't a giant, some miraculous bang. I mean, I went through a lot of amazing experiences, but there wasn't anything like that. This is kind of the down-to-earth practicality of living your mission, is that you need to simply decide what that is, and take the leap of refining the further you go, right? The deeper you go into actually expressing your mission, because you'll know if you're not living your mission. If this isn't your mission, you'll know pretty soon if it's really not what you're here to do, what you really want to do, right? You have any thoughts about that, Michael?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, if it doesn't get you out of bed in the morning with a big grin on your face and a level of excitement, then it's not your mission. And it can't be something that someone else, you know, coerces you into doing, you know, or some, you know, programming or conditioning. It's something that it basically touches your heart very, very deeply, where if you didn't do it, you'd feel sick and you feel like you wasted your life. You know, you can really tell whether or not it's your mission if you think, okay, if I don't do this, how am I going to feel? And if you feel absolutely terrible for not doing it, then you know, aha, that's the one, you know. Like for me, I know that my mission is to serve literally millions of people in various different ways, to ascend in their life and in their level of consciousness and to really experience their potential. And if I don't do that, then I feel like I'm wasting my time, wasting my life. And it hurts because I know that I'm here for that reason. So whatever is your dharma, you'll know it because it really gets you going. And it's something that is deeply passionate. And it can have so many different forms, you know, like helping people out in various ways, you know, serving others can take millions of different forms, you know, and it doesn't have to be teaching people. This is something I just want to mention as like an aside, that please pay attention to this. Your dharma doesn't have to be teaching courses and doing programs and seminars and retreats and all that kind of thing. A lot of people I talk to about this one-on-one, they kind of assume that their dharma is going to be the same as what I'm doing for some reason. I'm not sure why that is. And I say, look, it doesn't have to be anything at all to do with teaching classes and things like that. It can be, you know, creating beautiful curtains. It can be, you know, designing the best shoes ever. It can be, you know, helping create some environmental things. Like a friend of mine, his dharma is to get these hydrogen cars, you know. He knows about all this stuff, and he can put these things in people's engines and make the gas mileage go up and actually make cars that are healthier for the environment than everything else. So leaving them on all the time would actually clean up the air. And that's what he wants to do. And that's his passion, you know. And that's great. It's nothing to do with teaching spirituality or anything. But he's all about that, you know, and I'm encouraging you and helping him to make that happen in a big way. And so just be clear, your dharma doesn't have to be about teaching others and creating, you know, retreat centers and all that kind of thing. It might be, you know, and if it is, go for it. But don't just make that assumption.
Right. You know, that reminds me of, you know, I once heard a story about Rose Kennedy, John F. Kennedy's mother. Yeah, Rose Kennedy was asked once, well, what was her mission in life? And you know what she responded? I thought this was so awesome. It just really brings to light what you're sharing here. She responded by saying her mission in life was to raise a family of world leaders. That's what her mission was. That's what she dedicated herself is to raise a family of world leaders. And, you know, of course, who doesn't know about John F. Kennedy? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be anything. You know, it could be anything. And that's the good news here. Right? You don't need to imitate. You know, it was Emerson who said that modeling is fine, but imitation is suicide. There's no one you need to be, no one you need to copy. You have it already encoded in you. It's your own thing.
Yeah, that's right. It's something that can be very, very simple, you know, in terms of it's not prestigious and not, you know, glamorous and millions of people. And it doesn't have to be like that. It can be something very, very humble. And that's powerful. It's needed, you know, because people I work with who do different things like admin things and you know, organizing stuff for me and for us and what we're doing, you know, no one knows who they are. No one knows the people behind the scenes and what we're doing here. But I have deep, deep, deep love for everyone who helps out in these different ways. You know, deep love in my heart, huge appreciation for those things. And I value them as huge things. I think they're big things. I haven't got time for that personally because it's not my dharma and I can't be doing all the admin stuff and all these different details. I can't do it. I haven't got time. And if I did, I wouldn't be able to be on the call with you. But the people who do all that stuff, blessings and blessings and blessings and blessings to them, because they're helping out in something wonderful and they feel happy about it. That helps them and they've got other things in their life that they love as well as doing that work, and they've got their whole thing and it's great. So just understand it all fits together nicely, and by you doing your dharma, you're helping someone else to follow their dharma. And if everyone was to basically live their dharma, there'll be a complete package. Every single need that could ever be considered would be fulfilled. The whole world would be in total harmony if everyone played their part, you know. And you can't have everyone being the emperor, you know, you can't, otherwise it wouldn't work, you know. But everyone does their little things and it's great and everyone's happy that way. So whether it's you know supposedly a big thing or supposedly a small thing, there's nothing like that really. It's just what is it that you feel good? What are your strengths? What is your power? So, well, let's just get right to it then. Ask you a question. Get your pen and paper ready. We're going to ask you a very interesting question here. And I might have asked this to you before if you've been studying our stuff for a while. But this needs to be asked again and again and again by all of us. And this is going to give you an idea of what your dharma is. Okay? Are you ready, Josh?
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is great. And you know, Michael, I think it would be great to tune people in really quickly before we ask this question. I think it would be great if we can just go inside a little bit so people can just really tune in. What is their heart saying? So it's not just coming from your head. It's not coming from what, you know, what you were talking about, Michael, which a lot of times is, you know, a lot of just, you know, really just fantasies, egoic illusions of greatness and things like that, and not really tuning into what your heart is saying. So let's start, before we go into this question, let's start by everybody, just go ahead, if you're sitting down, just go ahead and shake your shoulders out. Just revitalize your body for a moment. Just shake it up. Just change the state for a moment. We're going to go inside really quickly, and we're going to tune into something that's going to make this so much easier for you. So go ahead and close your eyes, sit back, take a nice deep breath. Relax as best as you can. And I'd like to invite you to remember a time when maybe you were in the presence of someone or something that radiated unconditional love towards you. Just pure unconditional love. Maybe it was a grandparent, maybe it was a friend, a family member, a teacher. Someone that you remember, who no matter what you did, no matter what you said, this person would keep loving you, no matter what. Unconditional. There was nothing you had to do. There was nothing you could do wrong. Bring that person into your mind as best as you can, welcoming the feeling in your body now of unconditional love. What does that feel like? In a moment, I'm going to snap my fingers. And I want to invite you to go ahead and amplify the level of unconditional love that you're feeling right now in your body by 10 times. So take a nice deep breath. And amplifying that unconditional love by 10 times, letting it saturate your body, letting it radiate from every cell. And just notice the feeling. Feel that. What unconditional love feels like in your body. And in a moment, I'm going to snap my fingers again. And I'm going to invite you to go ahead and amplify the unconditional love that you're feeling right now by 50 times what you're feeling right now. Just taking a nice deep breath. And amplifying that unconditional love by 50 times. Radiating, saturating, filling every space. Inside and out. And I'm going to go ahead and snap my fingers once more. I'm going to invite you to go ahead and amplify this feeling, this vibration of unconditional love by 100 times what you're experiencing right now. 100 times. Just take a nice deep, deep breath. And let every space, within every space, all around you and within you, receiving and feeling that unconditional love that really no words can describe. And from this place of unconditional love, we're going to ask you a question. And Michael, you can take it from here.
So really tuning into your heart, your real heart's deepest desire. Just asking yourself, if you had all the time and money in the world and you had no fear, what would you do? If you had all the time and money in the world and you had no fear, what would you be doing with your life? And just write down whatever comes.
And I want to add a little something here. As best as you can, trying not to censor yourself in any way as you answer this question. Suspend your disbelief for one moment, right now. What would you
say? So let's just ask that. Ask that one more time with no censoring, just let it all out. It can be as big as it is, and that's fine. So if you had all the time and money in the world and you had no fear, what would you do with your life? What would you be doing? And it can be various things, not just one thing. It can be a big list of things. So just come back to your current experience around you. Give thanks for where you are right now and know that where you are right now is going to help you get to that place. And all the support you need is actually available and anything is possible. So hopefully you've come up with some interesting answers. If nothing came or if it was a bit obscure, it doesn't matter. It will come. Just every time you ask these questions, you're planting seeds and you're opening yourself to find the answer. And you're unconscious mind will find the answer for you. And it may happen tomorrow, it might happen when you're in the shower, it may happen when you're walking down the road thinking about something else. But these things, once you ask the question, you're planting seeds and you're opening up the capacity to answer them. And one thing I always find interesting is that when I ask these questions, I pretty much get the answer is pretty much the same as what I'm doing with my life now. You know, I'd still be on the call with you, regardless of how much more time and money I had and how much completely free of fear I was. I'd still be here, actually. And so that's great. I'm not doing this for the wrong reasons or I've got other things. I'd be very happy. The only thing that came up for me was to basically play, dance, and sing more.
Hey, brother. Your phone is getting a little distorted. It's just getting a little feedback on your phone there. Could you say something again just to check it out? See if it's going?
Yeah. Is that better now?
It sounds pretty, it's pretty distorted. But we heard dancing and singing.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, my friend. So we're going to move on and move ahead here. Again, if something didn't come concrete and clear, that's okay, because this is a question that you want to ask yourself. In fact, we want to challenge you to ask yourself, if you can ask yourself, maybe first thing in the morning, every day, if you had all the money in the world, all the time in the world, and you had no fear, what would you do? And just take some time to retune back into that. Because every time you retune back into that, a tiny little piece of clarity will come through. So continue with this question. This is a tool. This is a powerful question. Now, before we talk about this next exercise, we would like to talk to you a little bit about pain and pleasure. Because these are two forces that come up a lot in our lives. And the reality of pain and pleasure is that these are buttons in your nervous system. And if you're not controlling pain and pleasure in your life, they're controlling you. Now, why is this important? How does this relate to living your life's mission? Well, earlier we talked about how really you need to decide, right? And, you know, it doesn't have to be totally clear right now what this is all going to look like or what you're going to do, right? But what does need to happen is that you, once you do find those snippets that show you that you're carrying, because, you know, one of the things I found in my life after going through all these different experiences was that I was carrying this vision inside of my heart my whole life. When I was a little kid, this is what I actually wanted to do, right? So there's something that's encoded inside of you. You already know what you're here to do. So the thing here is to decide, to not second-guess yourself, to have the courage to say yes, and as they say, instead of going ready, aim, fire, the mindset is to ready, fire, aim. Okay? So it's a matter of getting yourself to actually start aligning your life, aligning your actions, your thoughts, your day, your schedules, all of these practical things with what you feel is the core, that center of the spoke, or the wheel, right? That everything else revolves around this one thing, right? Now, pain and pleasure is a way to, by controlling pain and pleasure, you can start activating yourself to, instead of going deeper into directions that you don't want to go into, you can change the structure of where your life is flowing. It's like changing the structure of a river, right? If there's a river that's flowing in one direction, we can change the course of that river. It's going to take some time. But we can change it, not by trying to, convince it that it's got to go in a different direction. You can't affirm a river to change direction. You just have to change the structure in which that river is flowing. So we want to help you create a structure right now that's going to help you change the direction which your life is flowing. And one of those things, again, is to control the pain and the pleasure responses in your nervous system. What are you associating pain to, and what are you associating pleasure to? Because there might be some parts of you that is benefiting from not being totally certain and clear and going full out on your mission, right? There might be part of you that has some pain associated with that, that maybe if you do go full out, you might have to expose yourself. You might have to be something that you feel like you're not. You might have to do all sorts of things, different fears that come up, insecurities, right, and things like that. So the things that the insecurities, the fears, all of those things are just signs of pain in your nervous system. And so what we want to do is just switch it up a little bit so that there's less pain stopping you from doing whatever it is that you really would love to do, and there's a little more pain that's on the side of what would happen if you don't do this, right? So we're going to go into these four questions, these four quantum questionings. And so you should have received a handout. We send it to you over email. If you don't have that in front of you, that's perfectly okay. You can just go ahead and do this on a sheet of paper with a pen or pencil. I'm more of a pen kind of guy. But are you there, Michael, by the way? Did your phone clear?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Is it better now?
Yes, it's much better. Wonderful. Good, 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 good. Okay, so are you ready, Michael? Shall we go into these four questions?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm wearing pen in hand, paper in.
All right. All right, this is going to be wonderful. So hopefully everyone, if you can grab that, that would be wonderful. And if you're just going to do it by pen and paper, we're going to go right into this. So the four quantum questions here, we're going to start with one, is what would happen? Okay, you're entertaining the possibility, just tuning into what would happen if you did start living your life every single day aligned with your mission, every day. Okay, so go ahead, take a moment right now to tune into, well, what would happen if you did start living your mission every day? What would happen? What are some of the great things that would happen? And anything else. It doesn't have to be positive or negative. Just anything. What would happen if you did start living aligned with your mission every day? And again, write down whatever comes to you first. Do not sit here and analyze what you might do. Just write it down. Just write. Put the pen on the paper and just write. Whatever comes to you first, that's what you want to catch. It's like catching a butterfly. If you wait too long, it's just going to fly away. You just want to put it down on the paper. What would happen if you did start living aligned with your mission every day? What would happen if you did? And keep writing. Just come with whatever comes. You're going to be able to do this more after the call, but we want to make sure you're doing it now because this is the power of coaching, right? The power of coaching is being able to hold you accountable, create this space for you to do this now, to not wait anymore, to not put it off, but to clarify this right now. So what would happen if you did start living every single day aligned with your mission? Well, what happened in your life? We're going to be changing the lens here in just a moment, but just a couple more moments on this question. What would happen if you did start living aligned every single day with your mission? What would happen to you emotionally? What would happen in the world? What would happen financially? What would happen socially? What would happen in your family? What would happen if you did start living aligned with your mission every day? We're going to be moving pretty fast. So do not censor. Do not evaluate. Just write. Write and evaluate later. Mm-hmm. We're going to be changing the lens now and move on to the next question. So now that we've written down a few things of what would happen if you did start living aligned with your mission every day, the next question is, what would happen if you didn't start living aligned with your mission every day? Okay, what would happen if you didn't? If you did not decide, if you did not start to schedule your day with your mission as the underlying and overlaying tonality of your day, what would happen if you didn't start living aligned with your mission every day? If you didn't step up, if you didn't do whatever needed to be done to make this energy, this thing that's trying to express itself through you, if you didn't hear that call, if you didn't do what you felt inside that you were here to do, what would happen if you didn't start living your life this way? What would happen emotionally for you if you don't do this? And we're just going to turn the pain button up a little bit more, and again, of pure love and service here to you. Just think 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, maybe even seeing yourself at the end of your life. And when you look back, what would have happened if you didn't actually do this? If you didn't step up and start living your mission? You stopped hiding, maybe, if there was something that you were holding back from coming out with. If there was a service that you felt, I don't know, I'm not good enough, or I don't know enough. Some kind of service or whatever it is, whatever's holding you back. What would happen if you didn't do this? How would you feel? What would your children and your children's children, how would it impact them? And just write. Don't stop to evaluate. Don't analyze. Just write. What would happen if you didn't start living aligned with your mission every day? Okay, and we're going to switch the lens. And again, you can continue this later on, but we wanted to keep changing, shifting this up here. And that's the power of this, is shifting things up here. So the next lens, the next question, and we're doing this now. What wouldn't happen, what would maybe even stop happening, if you did start living aligned with your mission every day? What wouldn't happen if you did? If you took the actions, if you had the resolve, the resolution tonight, right now even, if you had a glimpse of what you are here to do, of what you would love to do, of what you're passionate about. What wouldn't happen if you did start living this way, aligned with your mission every day? What would not happen? What would maybe stop happening? What would no longer be part of your life if you did? What wouldn't happen if you did? I know these questions are kind of strange. I mean, we're taking these slightly little twisted faces of the same cube. that there is a purpose. There is a method to this madness. What wouldn't happen if you did start living aligned with your mission every day? What would not happen? What would stop happening?
So just go ahead and make a note of that, whatever comes up. And remember, take the time for this. This is your life we're talking about here.
Oh, okay. So we're going to move on to the next question. Hopefully you got a good bit of time there. What wouldn't happen? Question number four is, what would not happen if you didn't start living aligned with your mission every day? Okay, what would not happen if you didn't start living aligned with your mission, with your purpose, with your passion? What would not happen? If you didn't do this, what would not happen? Think of your life. Think of your life 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, 30, 40, 50 years from now. What would not happen if you didn't start living aligned with your mission, aligned with your heart, aligned with your passion? What wouldn't happen emotionally? What wouldn't happen? What experiences would you miss out on if you didn't do this? What dreams would be never, just a, more like a fantasy, and never actually realized if you didn't do this, if you didn't start living
your life aligned with your mission, aligned with your heart, aligned with your passion? What would not happen? And if it helps, again, pretending, imagining that you're at the end of your days, you're on your deathbed, quote unquote. You're looking back at your life. And you're saying all the things that didn't happen in your life because you didn't start living aligned with your purpose, with your mission, with your passion. You didn't break out of whatever fear or trance you might have been in. Maybe you just kept playing it safe. Maybe you just kept playing small. But when you look back, there's a lot of things that didn't happen because of this. What wouldn't happen? If you don't, and if you didn't, start living aligned with your mission every day. Okay, my friends, we're going to shift gears here. So if you were writing, go ahead and just finish your last thought. Go ahead and just, once you're done with that, just shake it out. Okay, just shake it out. We were going between
shake
pleasure and pain here. Yeah, shake it out. Clear the screen of your mind. Think of popcorn, okay? Whether you eat it or not, just think of it. You know, butter in the air. Just think of popcorn for a moment. Or if it helps you, think of maybe a cockroach walking by the street is, you know, anything. Okay, so hopefully you've broken out of that state. No longer in that. But again, this is how we start working with the pleasure and pain buttons in our nervous system. They're already there. You already have pain and pleasure associated with what's happening in your life and what's holding you back from doing whatever it is that you feel, or at least an inkling or a gut feeling of what you're here to do. So this is these four questions. You can take this for the rest of your life, and it's going to affect your nervous system every single time you ask these questions. You're going to be directing the ship with these questions. This is a powerful tool, and it's a great honor and such a pleasure to share it with you, because this, you can do this for the rest of your life, and this will make things happen for you if you just tune in to what are you associating pain and pleasure to and shifting that. Right.
Yeah, because I remember a nice quote from Mark Twain who said, in 20 years, it's the things that you didn't do that are going to cause you the most pain. Not what you did do, it's what you didn't do. You know?
Right.
So make sure that doesn't happen. I remember one thing, I remember thinking as a younger person, I don't want to look back on my life and have not done things out of fear. You know, like I didn't speak to that person, I didn't take that opportunity, I didn't do this because I was afraid, you know. I'll look back and really, 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 really experience tremendous pain. So I've consciously pushed myself and got outside of my comfort zone again and again and again. And consequently, I've grown and grown and grown and grown and grown. And it's wonderful. So take the risk, take the risk, take the risk. Worth it.
Exactly. Okay, my friends, so we're going to move into four very specific steps to leave with this call. I mean, besides the other stuff that we're getting here, giving here, well, we hope you're getting the sense that we're over-delivering for you, because all of these things are the very practical things and some things that people don't even know about that's going to make a difference as far as how this mission of yours expresses itself in your life and actually doing it, right? Releasing the fears, releasing whatever's blocking that from just coming out, breaking that egg, letting it come out. And these four steps that we're going to share with you now are going to help you to go even further. And not only that, but it's going to focus your nervous system and your mind on what are those things that are going to make this a reality for you. Not only as a fantasy or anything else, but actual, practical, tangible reality that others can witness, you can witness. It's in the world. And that's what makes the difference here. And what we want to help you to do is that it's no longer just a thought in your mind. It's a translated thought that has been condensed into matter, into this world. So, without further ado, Michael, you want to get them started on these four steps?
Yeah. So the first thing we highly, highly recommend you do immediately is get some support and accountability for your mission, because you will have some ideas now about what to do. But if you're just there on your own and no one else knows about it, then you may or may not do anything about it, you know, because bottom line is we're creatures of habit, and we also have, you know, ingrained comfort zones. So the high percentage is that you may not want to do anything, or you may not have the opportunity. But if you get support and accountability, immediately those things are going to happen, and they're going to happen fast and easily, and you're going to sustain them. So how can you get support and accountability? A few ideas, Josh?
Well, you know, I just want to say a little something, because it took me, I mean, I just personally, I just want to share this, because it took me many years, actually, to finally understand the power of this, a power of getting support, a power of actually getting accountability with other people, as someone that's there holding that space for me. It took me a long time. And when I finally did, you know, it was funny, because I've had many different coaches along my path. And I remember one of my coaches told me when I was sharing with her, you know, I don't know if I should, you know, if I should join this coaching program. You know, it seems like, it seems so, out of my league. It seems expensive. It seems all these things. And at the time, okay, this was back when I was just moving out of living in a van. So I was pretty concerned about certain things, right? And not into really taking that much risks, even though I felt that I was clear now enough to start taking some action. But I just needed some structure. I needed some support. And you know what she told me? I thought it was pretty funny, and I tell people this now. But what she said is that, Joshua, you, whatever money that you have, okay, if you go ahead and sell your van, go ahead and do something like that. Just get rid of anything else that is not going to help you go even further, because you're going to go much further with someone supporting you than with your van. And to me, it's like, oh, okay. You know, it's these fantasies that we hold up. So for me, what I would say is just, you know, it's not with us. It's not us joining us to go further and deeper into releasing your brakes, into getting clear, into understanding these tools and getting support from Michael and I. It's to find somebody, find someone that can create that structure for you, that can hold you accountable. They're not going to let you off the hook and just kind of, you know, justify your way out of not doing what you feel you're here to do. That's what I would say, is that no matter what, this is such a powerful element of your transformation, is getting the support and that reflection.
Yeah,
that's invaluable.
So powerful.
I found
yeah.
it invaluable.
You really take note of this, underline this thing, because if you have support, people who understand, people who've gone there, gone through the thing and gone out the other end, and you're in contact with those people and they're listening to you and you're in connection with them, anything is possible. You know, if someone asked me what is the biggest thing for personal change, the one single factor, I would say it's the company you keep. Who are you associating with, whether they're physically with you or whether you have, you know, a relationship with them on a course or training or some other way of connecting with them, you know, that is the single biggest factor. Because if you take that away, you're basically just stuck with wherever you are. As soon as you add that in, then anything is possible. And you go to that level, and then you can even be their teacher later on. Who knows what's going to happen? But you've got to take that first step. So that's the first thing, is get some accountability, move forward, connect, commit to going ahead, you know, so that you guarantee your success. Second thing is to create a vision board or a vision map. And we're going to give you a free video, something that I did a while, fairly recently, about how you can create a vision board. It's a very powerful, very practical vision board video, and we're going to give you the link so you can go ahead and watch that and create that. It will take you, you know, maybe a day, maybe 2 days, or part of a day, but it's going to be worth it. I'm sitting here in my office with a big vision board taking up part. I've got this huge office with a big wall, and I've got my vision board there, and everything on this board happens. It's just amazing. You know, I put a picture of this MacBook, what they call those, not MacBook, those big Macintoshes, and I just forgot about it, and then my friend dropped it off. It's a 27-inch brand-new Macintosh thing, huge screen, really, really powerful
nice.
Computer. And it's just sitting there. I forgot about it, and then he turned up and just gave it to me. You know, and like I've got this support system, this, you know, I could go through, I'll talk about it another time, but vision boards are extremely powerful. So you take your ideas that you've got on your pieces of paper, plus some other questions that I give you in that video, and you turn it into a vision board, look at that vision board, connect with it, and that in itself is amazingly powerful. So we're going to gift you that also, so you can go ahead and start doing that immediately.
Yay.
And
awesome.
Yay. So
it's a great video.
Really, really, yeah, really great video. And it, mm-hmm. you know, all your questions will be answered in that video. The third step would be, what can you do right now to serve others? How can you start helping people with your skills and with your time? Because your Dharma is always about service. So if you're adding value, if you're helping other people out, in the way that you're feeling nourished by helping them, it shouldn't be draining you and stressing you out. If there's something that you love to do that someone else benefits from, how can you start doing that right now? You know, as of tomorrow morning even, you know, or as soon as possible. Whether you get paid for it or not, it doesn't matter at this point. Just get on with it, because that helping others is where you start experiencing a great deal of joy in your heart, you know. The more you help other people, the more you get blessings, and the more those blessings make you feel wonderful. So just ask yourself that question. What can you do right now to help others? And we'll send you these questions also so you can have them available to you later. And the last thing, step four, the last step is, what are three things? You can ask yourself this every morning, okay? Every morning, just get a small piece of paper and ask this question. What are three things that I can do today that will move me closer to my vision? Okay, so imagine you know what your vision is, you know what your mission is, you know what your vision board is. What are three things that you can do today to move you closer to it? And do those things as soon as you can in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, what can you go three things? It might be phone up this person, it might be, you know, stop doing this thing, it might be go for a walk, it might be, you know, jump up and down a bit and do some exercise. But whatever it is, different things will come up at different days. Do those things, and you're activating amazing power. Because it's when you act, when you move forward, when you physically take your body and do something with it, that it starts having the most powerful impact.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your four steps to start immediately going forward towards your Dharma. And you will literally be living your full Dharma very soon. The more you do this stuff, the quicker it happens. You know, it's taken us years to work this out. We didn't really know what was going on. We kind of worked it out intuitively and pieced things together. But we've learned that, and now we're giving it to you. So if you go back, listen to this call again, do all these exercises again, start doing this stuff, guaranteed you're going to be clear about your Dharma and start moving there and feeling wonderful. Feeling stoked when you wake up, feeling amazed when you go to sleep, and having the best day ever every day. That's literally what it comes down to.
Absolutely. And again, you know, I just want to reiterate here, just really want to bring this one point that you said, Michael, just driving in a little bit deeper, yeah? Is the heart of your mission is the service you provide. The heart of your mission is service.
Mm-hmm.
So just wanted to drive that home, because that is the key right there. And if you figure that out, everything will open up. Everything. There's nothing that will stop someone who's there to serve. And the people that we remember the most, the people that we all tune into the most, that vibration of service is going to make every single dream that you possibly have come alive. Just by serving others.
Yeah, if you help other people get their needs met, all of your own needs will be met in the process.
All the time. That's a fact.
And so you put others first, and then everything that is important to you is guaranteed. So this is a subtle secret. Normally, it doesn't make sense. You normally think, I've got to look after myself first, but think about others and serving them, and you'll be taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Wow. Okay, well, that's a lot of stuff to cover, and we hope you followed along on the webcast, on the call, wherever you might be calling in from. And you know, we really just want to thank you again for sharing this time, sharing this space with us. This is powerful, profound information that we're talking about tonight, that we spent some time on. And we just want to congratulate you again and thank you for taking that step. Because the more people that are living their life mission, the more people that are tuning into their dharma, serving others, living their passion, creating fulfillment, that's heaven on earth. You know, that's what, you know, we're both committed to, is helping this happen, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Michael, what shall we leave our friends with?
Well, you know, big hug.
You last word.
And...
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah. We did say that we had a surprise for you. We did say that. Now, we want to tell you a little bit here. We've pretty much come to the end of the content of this call. And, you know, like you said, Michael, just a big hug to you. You know, so much love and blessings to you for being a part of this. The surprise that we wanted to share with you was, you know, as you know, some of you know, both Michael and I are doing what we're calling the Releasing the Brakes Elite Coaching Program. And this program is the next step. It's the ultimate step of everything that we're doing together. Everything that we've talked about today, everything that we'll be talking about on the other calls, if you've signed up to other calls as well, it's the next step into going deeper and actually owning the exact tools that are going to help you not only get clear in your mission, but also to help you release any sense of fear or insecurity or emotional charge or anything like that that's stopping you from actually making this a reality, right? The tools we covered tonight are going to help you indefinitely, and it'll make huge shifts. But we're both very aware that not every single tool is going to work for everybody, right? We're all so unique. And so this is our opportunity, this is our chance to help you, to give you even more. And we would love to have you join us. We would love to have you join us on the next step of releasing your brakes. And again, not only in your dharma, not only in your mission, but in every area of your life, because it's the whole picture of your life, and that's what we talked about today in your dharma. So, Michael, do you want to tell them a little bit more, just so people know what we're going to be doing? Also, just so you know, before you go there, Michael, is that we're going to be sending you all a very special link. We have not opened the doors yet to this training. We did for a little while, and I'm sure, as you heard, we experienced some technical difficulties. Like I said, we're figuring this stuff out. But nevertheless, we're going to send you a very special link that before we open the doors to anyone, you're going to have access to check this out, to jump on some of the amazing bonuses that we're going to be adding into everyone that joins us on the next step. We are packing this with so much content that's going to support you to make this stick and to make this next year, not only this next year, but the rest of your life, be an amazing expression of who you're here to be, right? Because part of all of this, it's just being more of who you are. It's hard to do that if you have certain fears, certain limiting beliefs or decisions that you made at some point in your life in the past, some pain, emotional baggage that you're still carrying that's not going to allow you to take this further. Right? And that's what we want to help you with. That's what we're committed to. And so this is an invitation. We're going to send you that link. But, Michael, would you want to tell them a little bit more about this program, just a little bit more of what is it that we're really trying to do here in helping them?
Yeah, so,
how are they going to benefit?
Yeah, so what this means for you is that if you understand, you know, already, I'm sure the fact you're even on this call is because you understand that it doesn't matter how much stuff you try and do, if you don't let go of those blockages, it's not going to work. And even if you're here, it means that you're a courageous soul, because not many people like to have a good look at themselves and see what's really happening deeper down and look at all this dark, weird stuff that's going on inside and let it go. We don't like to see it. But you're here because you know that you have this amazing capacity and this wonderful dharma to live, and you are able to look at yourself and let go and ask these questions and really go deep. And so this training we're doing is essentially the combination of 25 years experience and research and practical application of the most powerful stuff we've come across, which includes some of the things we've discussed tonight already, but goes far, far deeper because it's over a longer period of time. We just thought, how can we give you, you know, like thousands and thousands of dollars worth of stuff, condense it down, really go overboard with it, and create something that has such amazing shifts that every single person is going to be like a case study that is just a miracle. We want to create remarkable, literally remarkable results in your life. And so we've basically spent a long time planning that and working out what is the most powerful stuff. And so that's what that training is going to be. It's going to be a series of live calls plus other, you know, videos and audios and bonuses, and listening to you and having spotlight coaching and, you know, like being interactive personally with everyone as much as possible, and really allowing you to let go of whatever it is and get to that next level once and for all, starting at the beginning of 2011. So, right. You know, this is like, I'm really excited about it because it's the most powerful thing I've ever done in my life. And the same for Josh. And so we're really excited, and we've only got, you know, a small number of people because we want to keep it intimate so that we can really have the maximum impact on you. So if you're feeling it in your heart and you know this is good for you, then, you know, really commit to that inside yourself now. And, you know, you can't actually get hold of this right away because it's not available, but it will be very, 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 very soon. So if you're feeling it, commit to it. All the details will be there when you sign up. And, we just really want to see remarkable results, because you have so much power inside of you, so much power. Human soul is extremely powerful, and the only reason it isn't having that experience is because of the blocks. So this is going to be again and again and again, back to back to back, release, release, let go, let go, let go, and it's going to be really intense and really powerful and really deep. So if you want that kind of thing and you can handle it and you really want that result, then make a note of this in your heart and get ready to sign up when we release it.
Wonderful. Yeah, this is going to be great. This is going to be profound, and it's going to be awesome to see all the different people and their stories as they release, and keep expressing more of who you are, right? More of who you are.
Yeah.
Who you are is already there, right? You're already there. And that's what we want to help you do, is just let go of the layers of stuff that's telling you no, 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 or, you know, these fears or anything else. You're already there. You're already perfect. You're perfect. And we just want to get rid of all the baggage that some of it you didn't even know where it came from. But we can let it go.
And we want to basically see you wake up in the morning with a smile on your face, have the best day ever, go to sleep with a big grin on your face, knowing that you're fulfilling your destiny, doing exactly what you love, feeling absolutely amazing, and have that again and again and again every single day, and achieve all these things in your life. That's what we want to see for you. That's what brings us tremendous joy, and that's what we're committed to doing with this elite coaching program that's coming up. Because it just brings us so much joy to see that. And the bottom line is, if you do that, you're going to affect everyone around you, and the world is going to be massively improved place, because you're a beaming, radiant light in the world. And basically, that's why we're doing this. And that's what will happen for anyone who signs up. So, yes, if you're one of them, get ready, get ready, get ready. We're ready. If you're ready, then we're ready to go. So, let's do it.
Keep an eye keep an eye out for that email. And thank you so much again for sticking with us, and again for your patience as we got started a little bit later than we intended to because of certain technical difficulties. But we made it happen, and that's okay, because flexibility is part of the whole game.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen in the, in the future.
I know, right? It's all good. All right, my friends, blessings, so many blessings. Create a beautiful day, beautiful evening. And whatever time of day you're listening to this recording, if you listen to it later, again, we would love to have you join us. Either way, we want to serve you, and we hope that you felt served and that you felt that we over-delivered on this call, and that you use these tools, you use these questions to keep clarifying and tuning into your dharma, to your vision and your mission.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with that being said... Yeah, do it now. Exactly. So many blessings, and we'll be talking down the road.
All right. Take care. All right. Lots of love from Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha. Ciao.
All right.